Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Andrew Spragan has been practicing his sonic sorcery under the name Solar Rosa since 99. He has a brand new album out, sticking to his patented mix of international and national collaborators and genre-bending music styles. Get It Together is out from Monday, but it's been 3.5 years since the last album, Move On. What have you been up to since then, Andrew?
What have I been up to since then? Pretty much making Get It Together, really. I think I had about 6 months off. I kind of like to have a little period of reprieve between every album, really. You kind of have to. So I had about 6 months off, and then I started working on Get It Together, and it's been a 3-year recording process.
And what's the process? Have you got to kind of tour and have so many commitments for your last album as well, you've almost got to get it out of your system before you can start afresh? Or
no,
by the
no,
time you release it, are you already kind of buzzing with ideas?
By the time I release it, it's pretty much well out of my system anyway. It's just been it's taken that long because I wanted to record as much of the album live as possible. And as much as I've recorded live instruments before, I've never really done it seriously. Like, I'd just kind of go, okay, well, we'll grab this microphone and we'll put it in front of that amp, and but this time around it was kind of like, okay, well, what's the right microphone, what's the right guitar we're going to use, what's the right amp, how we're going to, you know, what sort of preamp are we going to use, kind of.
Well, tell me about that process. So you write the music yourself, and then you get in your band, who have now been, well, some of them have been with you for quite a while. Do they have a say in the recording process, or is that all?
They do. I kind of have final say, but yeah. What happens is I generally start off the a track with a sample, digging around in old op shop bins for records and things like that, or anything out of my sort of personal collection. But generally, things that, you know, samples that aren't too recognisable, I hope. And then I sort of build a track around that, writing the bass line on the keyboard, programming a drum beat, maybe adding percussion, but it's all kind of programmed really with live samples, but and breaks and things like that, but all built around this loop generally. And then I sort of start maybe arranging different parts of the loop in the Pro Tools session and stuff like that, and then I'll get the band in, or, you know, one at a time, guitarist, bass player, whatever, and we'll sit down and we'll work out the bass line, and then we'll kind of, I'll say, well, you know, is there anything else that you think might be good, or we'll sort of talk through it, really. I mean, there was a lot of, the great thing about recording at Red Bull Studio was that there was, unlimited time.
Tell me about that process. What's the relationship with Red Bull? How did they help there?
Red Bull just always kind of been behind Solar Rosa, really, to the point of, sponsorship and I guess they just kind of, they get behind bands that they like. I think they've sort of supported Shapeshifter in the past and Lady Six, and maybe they've done some stuff with Freddy's, and I'm not sure, but that, you know, that's kind of their thing.
Is that kind of what you need as a musician? Do you need a patron like that in the modern environment where labels aren't as powerful and independent producers have to make more of it on their own?
I think if there was more of that sort of attitude from the industry in general, then it would be a lot more helpful, in a much stronger industry.
Like a studio to play in, and not a whole lot of
Maybe if record companies, for example, kind of said, "Oh, okay, well, instead of just throwing all this money, random rubbish, then why don't we just invest it into a studio so that our artists, instead of having to go and pay all this money and borrowing money from us to do it, can maybe go into the studio, which is really basic but has got good equipment."
It doesn't seem like rocket science, does it?
No,
it
seems like quite, and that's just one example of how you could kind of.
And that kind of cool approach did work for places like Cog in their heyday, didn't it?
Yeah.
Of hey, here's a sandpit, go play in it and see what you come out with.
Totally. I mean, you know.
Okay, what about when it comes to selecting the vocalists, which of course are such an important element to how people receive it? Do you kind of come up with a track and then come up with a vocalist who's like the spice for the recipe, or is it that, are they in your thoughts from the start?
They're in my thoughts all the way through, really. So, I mean, I was constantly searching for vocalists right up until probably the last year of the finishing of the album. I mean, I think Eva Lancom didn't come on board right till the very end.
Is that right?
Yeah. Same with, I mean, the last album.
And she's one of the local ones, Wellingtonian.
Yeah, and that was a recommendation from my publicist, Lauren Clough. So she just kind of said, have you heard Eva Lamkin? And I was like, no, just check out her MySpace page. And I mean, MySpace is invaluable, really, for, despite the fact that it's almost like a bit of a sort of tumbleweed wasteland these days. It's still as relevant as ever for
musicians,
for networking, for musicians. You know, the fact that I could track down Biker and Sarah C and, you know, all these kind of international artists and just approach them, you know, via email and have them on my album is quite incredible, really.
It's so cool. I mean, that idea of the international to the local, I mean, does it really even exist anymore in the digital age? Does it matter if you're a New Zealand artist as long as you're making music that's relevant everywhere?
Well, you do have to think about, okay, well, how am I going to... You know, I did think, okay, what if I do these tracks with Biker and then one of them sort of blows up and is a bit of an underground hit. You know, say something happens and a track blows up and it's kind of like, well, she's in Germany, what are we going to do when it comes to playing live? Or, you know, you've got to think about all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, the reason, you know, I mean, not the reason that it's good to work with Spikey, but because I love Spikey's vocals and he's an amazing guy and we're really good friends. But
some great tracks on Moves On. And
yeah, but the fact that he's in Australia is really, really handy because we bring him over for tours. But, and you know, and it's good having local people because it's, you know, obviously it's not too difficult to tour. But you have to think about that as well. So, I could fill up the whole album with international artists. But when it comes to touring, what are we going to do, you know? So
let's look at some of the ways that you're releasing music from the new album, Get It Together. With Delray, you released that as a free download, which is, you know, the vanguard of music, giving it away.
Which you can get from solarosa.com.
Yeah, well, the excellent solarosa.com site. You can receive that download for free. But then with the latest single, it's actually being put to vinyl. So the two different ends of the spectrum there. Is that what you have to do? Be active on all fronts now?
Oh well, I'm my whole attitude has kind of changed in regard to downloading and people swapping files, and you know, I mean, this is what people do these days, and you just have to, you know, I mean, I guess I was really unsure about my attitude towards you know, so-called pirating or whatever, and so I kind of started following blogs of people like Andrew Dubber and doing my own research, really, and sort of making up my own mind on it. And now I'm kind of the mindset that, you know, obviously it's, you know, it's great when people pay for my music, and there's sites like Bandcamp on that we have on the Solarosa site, and that where people can actually choose to pay what they like for the download. I think there's a minimum of $1, but it's kind of like, but you know, I've found that most people are actually paying more than $1 per track. They kind of, and someone paid me $10 last night for one track.
Me.
So they obviously liked it that much that they thought that they'd pay that for it. But I mean, but with Delray, it was just kind of like, okay, well, we've been out of the scene for a while, for 3.5 years, so let's just come out and just give people something. You know, they can hear it on the radio. I mean, it's been playing on the radio and stuff like that, and then they can just go and get it
and
free.
As a musician, you can then go and, on the strength of the interest that helps to build, you can go on tour and capitalise like that.
Well,
isn't it?
Because we're touring, you know, in March. It's not that far away, so it was kind of like everything was delayed because of the vinyl. So it was supposed to be, Delray was supposed to come out last year, you know, like November or something, and then the vinyl was going to come out for turnaround in December, but the vinyl kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed. So we just came out with Delray and said, look, here it is, and you can have it. And it's had, I think, you know, about 2,500 downloads or something so far, and then people will get that and pass it on to their friends and spread it around, and all of a sudden there's kind of an interest in Solarosa again, where we've been off the scene for 3.5 years. It kind of just
2,500 downloads in the scheme of today's number ones. I mean, that's a huge number. I mean, if you sold 2,500 copies, you'd be number one in the country.
That was in a period of about a month, so you know, it was pretty good. And that just sort of built up interest, really. And then, so when we came out with the turnaround vinyl was really for DJs. It's, and you know, and Vinyl Junkies. It's pretty much what it's for.
When it comes to like playing with heroes as well, Alice Russell recently, that's is that a real highlight of what you're up to?
Well, I don't know really. I mean, I've been a fan of Alice Russell in the past, to be honest. My musical taste changes so constantly that I was a fan of hers when she was doing Quantic stuff, and I guess I'm not as much of a fan these days. But it was really great to play with her, and it was really great to get across to a crowd that was not essentially a bunch of Solar Rosa fans. In fact, probably the majority of the people that were there didn't know who we were. So that was always good. It's always good to get across to other people.
Cool. And what's next on the cards?
Well, just get this album off the ground, really. And I think we're touring in March, April, and then...
And all the dates are on that solarrosa.com site?
Yep. And I believe we're touring again, hopefully in August. And, you know, it's just plans to try and get back to Australia and plans to try and get over to the UK. We're sort of in negotiation at the moment with a label in Germany about releasing the album worldwide. So that's going to be interesting. So there's quite a lot happening, really.
Excellent. Well, if anyone is interested, they'll be able to head along to solarrosa.com and see videos of the latest tracks and
download a track
and get the tour dates.
Everything's there. We've tried to sort of get everything on there that we can without it looking too cluttered or being too confusing, really. And it's kind of, you know, set up on blog software, so it's kind of so people can leave comments
and you're there maintaining it and you're interacting with the fans.
Pretty much, yeah. I think we're actually going to give it a we're going to give it a minor facelift soon. It's only just gone up, really, the site, but we're kind of going to change a few things in relation to the tour. We're much happier with the new website than the old one, that's for sure.
Oh, excellent.
Well, it's very interactive, we hope. Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming in, and good luck with the tour.
Cool, thank you.
And Solar Rosa's album comes out on Monday. And you're listening to some of it now, actually. Quite good, isn't it, Simon? Don't you like that?
Absolutely.
That's all we've got time for today on the show. Thanks very much to the guests. Thanks to you for listening. If there's something that you missed and would like to hear again, go to publicaddress.net/radio. I've been Damien Christie.
I'm Simon Pound.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air.